Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast. Dorothea here. Before I get started, I just want to announce that I have officially opened my Patreon account. Yes, I'm so excited. I'll try and leave the links down below. If not, then you can definitely just search my name, Dorothea Vasicek, on Patreon, patreon.com. And I'm sure I'll be the only one on there because I don't think anyone else has my name. But if you were listening to last week's podcast, I started that one off explaining a little bit of my resistance to starting a page on this website and how long I've been thinking and debating inwardly about this, because it's difficult for me to ask for, I guess, financial compensation. It's a tricky topic for me. But at the end of the day, I just realized, you know what, I'm offering something back here. It's not that I'm just asking for a donation. It's like a collaboration in exchange for exclusive content, which I am currently working on that website. And it's getting paid for what I do, really, that's what it is. And I'm really excited about it. So I've officially launched that video on my YouTube, and I've officially launched my page on Patreon. So if you are interested at all, any and all collaborations would be well appreciated, very much so appreciated. Yes. Anyways, go check it out. Today's episode, I had something else planned to talk about, but something crazy happened yesterday, so I wanted to go into that first of all. Actually, before I even get into that, I wanted to touch on my birthday, which happened on March 7th, which was after the last episode. Yeah, so I haven't talked about it yet. I had such a good birthday, you guys. I turned 30 years old, which I've also talked about before on this podcast, about how excited I am to be 30 and just entering a new decade, a new era of my life. It feels so good. Like, it feels so right. I'm so happy to be 30. I was joking with Ben, my boyfriend, a couple days before my birthday, basically saying, you don't have to do anything. You can literally like not plan anything for my day and it would be fantastic. Like, I don't need any bells and whistles, any fancy extravagant things to happen. Less is more, because last year on my 29th birthday, basically it was when the shit hit the fan with my relationship with the father of my son. And it just, a lot of things happened on that day last year that set a whirlwind of things, of events into motion that made my 29th year not exactly my best year. I had a lot of life changes. We obviously moved to the United States. I broke up with my baby daddy. I was robbed within my house by a good friend of mine at a time of a significant sum of money. Oh man, maybe I'll tell that story sometime. But basically, without a shadow of a doubt, I know who it was, and it was a girl who I trusted way too much to come into my personal space. And she took a large amount of money from me at a time when I wasn't working and I was very susceptible. I'd just broken up with Max's dad, and she staged it so that it looked like he had done it, even though I knew in my heart that he might be a lot of things, but he's not a thief and he would not steal from me. So it was just a really confusing, heartbreaking time in my life. So regardless, 30 is looking good so far. It's looking a lot brighter, and I'm happy to be done with my 20s. I've learned a lot in my 20s. My 20s were a crazy decade. I graduated from hair school, cosmetology school, aesthetic school. I worked a million different jobs. I got married. I got divorced. I started traveling. I learned two languages. Like, I accomplished a lot now that I'm like thinking about it, now that I'm like listing all of these things. Like, definitely I've been around the block in my 20s, lived in a handful of countries, spent more time outside of the US than in the US. It's been great. Like, I can't complain about this entire decade. 29 was kind of an exceptionally poor year, but regardless of that, it was a very good decade, and I'm happy for all of my experiences that I've garnered, but I'm so ready for the next chapter and walking into my 30s feeling strong, feeling confident, feeling just unstoppable. Like, I can do anything, you know. I'm excited for what's ahead, and I have a lot of goals and a lot of ideas of what I want to accomplish, and I'm excited to get started. So here we are. I'm officially 30. We had a really good day. Ben made me breakfast in bed, which was so nice. He took care of Max to let me sleep in, which in and of itself was like the best start of any day. It hardly ever happens like that, just because he has a job, he's got to go to work, and I need to get up and play mom and all that stuff. So that was nice, just to be able to rest a little bit longer. We had a babysitter in the early afternoon, which was awesome. Getting Max away for a little bit, just for a few hours. We went out and had a nice lunch at Flanagan's, which is a nice family style restaurant, which a lot of people had recommended to us, and it has excellent food. If you are in Southern Florida, do check out Flanagan's restaurant. It's amazing. We got their baby back ribs. Their food, like, put us in a coma. Basically, we had all these plans to do stuff. Like, we wanted to go out on jet skis and take advantage, go walk by the ocean and all this stuff, go snorkeling. None of it happened because, well, first of all, the weather was a little bit not the greatest. It wasn't rainy or anything. It was sunny, but it was a little bit chilly. The ocean was too windy for jet skis. And after eating a huge meal, we'd been drinking a little bit too. We were, you know, maybe on our fourth or fifth beer, and we just got home and like crashed. So we spent our entire babysitting time where we were without a child to sleep. Literally slept for 2.5 hours, but it was so luxurious. It was so good and so necessary. It's not very often that I get to take a nap in the middle of the day, and it was just exactly what I wanted. So it was perfect. Woke up, got Max, played some more dominoes, listened to some good music, had some cake and ice cream, drank some more beer, just had a really fun, relaxing day. And the neighbors came over and wished me happy birthday. Yeah, it was a great day. I was getting messages all day coming in from loved ones, friends and family. That always makes you feel special. And it just felt really good. You know, you just feel embraced by everyone near and far. So thank you. If you sent me a birthday wish, thank you so much. If you're sending me one now, belated, then thank you so much. Whatever, you know, it's all good. I feel like your birthday is just such a special time where you can, like, sit back and just enjoy yourself. Like, it's a holiday that's only for you. Like, it is literally your day. It's nobody else's day. It's just a holiday meant for you. And if you're me, then I take the whole week and just treat it like special, you know, or the whole month. Why not? My whole birthday month, all of March, it's my birthday. Oh, God. Anyways, I had something happen to me yesterday that was scary, to say the least. I was in a car accident. So changing subjects here very suddenly, I was in the car driving with Ben and Max in the back seat on 95, Interstate 95, going northbound out of Miami. And my front wheel decides to roll off. Just decides, you know, I've had enough. It was the strangest thing, you guys. I don't know, like, I don't know what happened. I refuse to be liable for this. So no matter what happens, whatever happens rolls out with the insurance claims and everything. I am going to complain to whoever will listen to me, whether it's with the dealership that I bought it from or with Walmart, who were the last people to install new tires 1,500 miles ago. Whoever it is, the last person to touch those wheels to install them did a really shit job, basically. And my front tire just literally came off in the middle of the highway, which is really scary enough as it is. It could have been a lot worse. Thankfully, we're all okay. We were the only car involved. There was no pileup. There was nothing else, nobody else involved, because I was on the right side of the road going 65 miles an hour, mind you, like going the speed limit. But there was also enough of a shoulder, which was also very lucky, because on this interstate, it's a crazy, okay, I know everybody complains about drivers wherever you live. It's always crazy, right? But the traffic and blah, blah, blah. I'm not lying when I say I've been around the world and nothing compares to Southern Florida traffic. Like, the drivers here are insane. sane. It's horrendous. It's embarrassing, honestly. It's just so ridiculous how people drive around here. And I don't know if it's because of like the season, like between Thanksgiving and Easter, we get a lot of snowbirds that come down here, a lot of people from all over the world, but especially up north, you know, some aggressive drivers from New York or whatever, or like people from Canada, or I don't know if it's because of the mix of drivers or if it's just the people born and bred in Florida who just never learn how to drive properly. But people will cut you off. People don't use their blinkers. They're so aggressive. They're always on their phone. Like, it's such a danger just to get in your car. And that's coming from someone who works from home. Like, I hardly ever leave the house. And every time I go out, it's stressful. So anyways, there's always accidents on this interstate. There's always traffic. There's always a huge backup. It always basically takes you at least 30 minutes more to get anywhere than what you expect. It's a pain in the ass. But anyways, we're on the highway, we're coming home, and my wheel just decides to fall off the car, and it bounces under the car first. Like, we could actually feel it lift the car up a little bit and then bounce out and onto the road, which we were able to recuperate the wheel, but there was enough of a shoulder. The brakes immediately locked up, so they were useless, and we just skidded for about 200 meters or so until the car came to a stop, and I was able to veer it ever so slightly onto the shoulder without scraping it against the barrier. So there wasn't a whole lot of body damage. The front of the car did crumple a bit, but there's a lot of damage underneath the car, and there's a lot of damage with whatever, like the wheel bearings, and I don't have the mechanical vocabulary for all of that, but oh my God, it was just so stressful. I don't think Max perceived it. Like, I don't think he really knew what was happening, because it was relatively a calm event. It could have been a lot more chaotic. Like I said, we could have gotten rear-ended. It could have caused a huge pileup, but it was just us. We were able to pull over. I called my insurance company, and they sent a tow company out right away. We had to get a lift back because with a car seat, it wouldn't fit in the tow truck. So we got a ride back. And the car is currently at a tire shop, which I don't think it should be at a tire shop. I think it should be at a collision repair center. But we'll see tomorrow. There's going to be a claims officer that's going to go out there and basically analyze the damages and figure out if it's worth more to fix it or not. If the total value of the car is less than what it's going to cost to fix it, which I'm kind of, fingers crossed, hoping is what the case is. That means that the insurance company will just pay me out. I'll be able to pay off my car loan and have enough to buy a new car. A really cheap car, but some car. And my boyfriend Ben is really good with this kind of stuff. He's like a know-it-all handyman, mechanic, all that kind of stuff. So he fixes up cars really nice. I'm just hoping that's what happens, because it's been a while that I've wanted to get rid of this car. It served us really well. Oh, if anyone doesn't know, I drive a 2010 black Dodge Voyager. No, Journey. It's a Journey. Front wheel drive. Yeah. SRT, I think, is the model. Anyways, doesn't matter. It's a small SUV. It's a great little car. It served us well, but I know I paid too much for it. I was in a rush when I bought it because I really was desperately needing a car, and I don't know enough about cars. And this is something that, like, I know it's not exclusive to women, because there's plenty of women mechanics out there who know their way around an engine or a motor. But in general, you know, the world of mechanics is a male-dominated industry, but there's also plenty of men out there who don't know anything about cars, who go out and buy cars every day, right? Like, people. There's plenty of people out there who get swindled and buy lemons. You know, they buy crappy cars that are overpriced for their actual value. And it's so easy to do. It's so confusing, because when you don't know anything, like, ignorance is not always bliss. Sometimes you need to know what you're looking at so that you can accurately assess if you're getting a good deal or not. And here, especially in the United States, we have such a high turnover rate with cars. People are always updating their vehicles, always getting the newest, latest stuff, and always like rotating stuff, always selling their old cars. And there's a lot of used cars out there, and you just never know what you're getting. Of course, there's the Carfax, there's the whatever, Kelley Blue Book value. Like, you can look up certain facts, but at the end of the day, if you're buying a used car, you don't know who the previous owner was. You don't know how they treated the car. You don't know how they fixed up the car. Like I said, I had just gotten new tires on like all four wheels, brand new, not that long ago, about 2 months ago. And I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just paying someone to do their job, right? Like, I'm walking in somewhere trusting that this mechanic is going to know what they're doing and paying them X amount of money and walking out assuming that they did what they needed to do. Like, who am I to know, to look at a car, to look at my wheels and see that the lug nuts are screwed on improperly and be able to assess that and say, oh, this is not suitable for driving? Like, I don't possess the knowledge to do that because I am a layperson. I don't know cars, you know? Like, it's just crazy that you can spend money and get swindled, really. Get someone tells you something, like someone tells you that they did a job, you pay them amount, and then it doesn't turn out how you expect. It blows my mind. I can't believe it. It's insane to me that this happens. And it was just really ironic because about 2 days before this accident happened, Ben and I were talking. Ben knows his way around cars. And he was telling me, like, you know, your car's not worth that much. Like, you overpaid for it, basically. And he was even telling me, like, you know, the best thing that could happen is for you to get in an accident and for someone else to be held liable, you know, to get rear-ended or something, and then the insurance company will pay you out and you can get rid of that car because it's really not worth it to be paying your car loan. And I kind of rolled my eyes and I was like, yeah, I know, but what are the chances of that? I mean, I know you can like stage, and there's plenty of like insurance fraud out there, but I'm not trying to get in a wreck, like, especially driving with a baby. That's not what I'm about. And then literally 2 days later, my wheel just falls off the car. So maybe I manifested it. I don't know. I don't know. Like, we're joking about it now, but really it was so freaking scary. You don't think about how precious life is until these kind of moments happen where it forces you to think about the brevity of it all. Like, in the end, we're all going to die. That sounds really morbid, but it's true. You know, that's one thing that is true about life is death. And they come hand in hand. But you don't think about death on a daily basis when you're just alive. Your heart is beating, you're breathing, you're functioning, you're going about your routine, your day, and death is not a part of your routine. So naturally, you're not going to think about it until something scary happens and unexpected. And then it kind of throws you into a reality check of like, okay, maybe I need to assess what I'm doing with my life. You know, maybe I need to figure out what's most important to me, and maybe I need to hug the right people and tell the right people I love them. Immediately when I got home, I called my mom, who I don't talk to a lot. Like, we definitely talk on a regular basis, but it's kind of sporadic. I'm not super close with my family, but I'm also not like distant from them anymore. I used to have a very stressed relationship with them. But anyways, things have gotten a lot better in recent years. But all of that is to say that it's not like I call my mom on a regular daily basis. And I don't think I'd talked to her in over a week. And immediately, like, the first thing on my mind when I got home and I calmed down a little bit was call your mom. Like, call her, tell her what happened, tell her you love her, like, tell her it's all okay. And like, it just makes you think about what's precious, what's most precious to you in life, and the people that matter the most to you. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. But keep your fingers crossed for me that the damages exceed the overall value of my vehicle so that this girl can be driving around with a new set of wheels, because that's what I really would like at this point. We'll see. We'll see what happens. If not, if, you know, worst case scenario, the insurance covers the repairs, all except a $500 deductible, which sucks. But like I said, I'm not paying that. Like, I will go to the ends of the earth to get someone else to pay that, because in my eyes, it's not right. Like, it's just not right that I should have to pay that. when I entrusted someone else to inspect my car and make sure that it was drivable and road safe, and it was obviously not. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm sure I'll be giving you guys an update here on my podcast. If any of you are watching, if any of you are listening are Portuguese speakers and follow me on YouTube, I plan on doing a live either tomorrow or on Thursday. I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Anyways, totally irrelevant for the rest of you, but I just want to announce that I'm planning on talking about this on my channel in Portuguese. I'm a little nervous because it's a new vocabulary for me, which is, you know, bringing up languages really quick, another one of my passions. Not that car accidents are my passion by any means, but you know what I mean. So it's interesting when you learn a language. Like, a lot of people ask me, when did you become fluent? Like, when did you feel fluent in this? And I totally understand this question, because when I was in like a huge part of my learning curve with both Spanish and Portuguese, especially with Spanish, because that was my second language. And then with Portuguese, I kind of understood the dynamics of learning a language a little bit better. But I used to ask people that same question all the time. People who I admired, people who spoke Spanish and Portuguese as a second or third language, I would ask them, when did you feel fluent? When did you feel fluent? And now I get that question all the time. And I get it, because when you're learning a language, you want to know, like, you kind of, it's kind of like a poll. Like, you want to poll people, like, how long? Oh, some people will say it took them 6 months. Some people will say it took them a year. Some people will say it took them 2 years. I think the most accurate answer to that is never. Because for as fluent and as well conversational that you can possibly be in a language, there is always going to be a subject. And this is true even in English, right? My native language. There's always going to be a subject that you just don't know anything about, that you don't have the vocabulary for, that you can't speak in an educated way about. Sure, you might have like the elementary level of or vocabulary for some things, but like, for example, medical vocabulary or mechanical vocabulary, or I don't know, mathematics or engineering, or these little niches of subjects of like what you're only as good at a language as fluently as you can talk about like your least known subject, you know? Yes, I speak Portuguese fluently. Yes, I speak Spanish fluently, but when it comes down to it, I am thinking about this live that I'm going to do here in a couple days on my channel. And I'm already preparing a vocabulary list of things that words that I don't know in Portuguese that I do know in English, like accident, or I know that's accidente, but like, I don't know, tires and, there wasn't a pile up, or like in it, all of the words that I just used. Again, I'm not even like that fluent with it in English, so definitely not up to par in Portuguese either. I just thought that was an interesting side note of talking about languages and how to relate to them, because really, I would always either feel asking that question to someone else who I considered like higher level in their language learning than me, and asking them, oh, when did you become fluent? The answer always made me feel really good or really bad. And more often than not, it made me feel bad, because I would compare them to myself and say, oh, you learned it in 6 months. Oh, I've been studying for 8 months and I'm still not as good as you. Like, in the back of my head, that's the dialogue that I had going on. So I encourage you not to compare yourself too much with anyone about anything, not just languages, but also bear in mind that as fluent as that person is, if this is the subject you're talking about, is language fluency, they're never as fluent as you think they are, because there's always going to be a subject where they just don't know anything. Like, they don't know how to say anything. Maybe they do in their native language, but they don't have that vocabulary in another language. So keep that in mind. Keep perspective. Appreciate your life. Be glad that you weren't, hopefully, in an accident this last week. And I'm going to cut this episode short right here. It's a little shorter than my last one I blabbed on in my last episode, but feel free to check that one out as well. I talked a lot about my divorce and the whole backstory there. I hope you guys are liking my podcast. Feel free to give it a like, give it 5 stars, leave a review, favorite it, whatever you want to do on whatever platform you're listening. I really appreciate the love and support. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you, or you will hear me next time. All right. See you guys.